Well, good morning again. As Rich has already prayed, you guys don't have to suffer through a sermon from me this morning. That's because we have an opportunity to have Chaplain Derek Seeger from the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry, and to talk about the ministry. Now, we haven't had this for a long time. It's been a while since we've had some of our local missionaries come in and talk to us about what's going on, and I think that's important. I think we need to know what the Lord is doing. And the jail ministry is very close to us. I mean, it is. I mean, the people, some of the folks we're serving in Bishops are very familiar with it. But also, it's right down here. You know, if it wasn't for this wall, you could see the Carroll County Detention Center from our church. And this is clearly part of our Jerusalem. And so we've been supporting the chaplains there at the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry for quite some time. You guys probably remember Chaplain Kimmel, and before that, Chaplain Bookman. And before that, Chaplain Chapman, actually, it might have been reversed, Bookman, then Chapman. But they're all doing the Lord's work there. And God is doing things. And Chaplain Seegers, he took over in the pandemic. It was 2 years ago that he became, so he did his baptism into the ministry there was certainly by fire. But certainly, God will use that as well. So, brother, would you please come forward and share with us what the Lord has for us today and what's going on there? Listen, if you need to advance something, this is it. Okay. And I'm not going to guarantee that it works. Okay. And if it doesn't, it's just par for the course.
Okay. All right.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hey, it's so good to be here. My wife with me this morning, Janelle, my lovely wife there of 29 years. Praise the Lord. Amen. I always joke, but I don't know how she could stay with me that long, but she did, and it's a blessing. I have three wonderful children, one in heaven, but two adult children that is with us. We've had the opportunity to move here. We moved in 2013 in the Maryland area. We were from the Carolinas, North Carolina to be exact. I pastored a church there in Charlotte, North Carolina, or Huntersville, North Carolina. And God had a calling on our life. I had finished at seminary, and we felt that God was calling us to Maryland. Came to Maryland under the pretense of working for one of our local, I would say local, it's in Greenbelt, not local here, but Greenbelt area, one of our seminaries to teach there, but also serve as their director of church and community relations. Long story short, I got involved in the volunteer ministry of the prison. I started serving in Anne Arundel County. And Lord and behold, in 2017, 2018, I heard and learned that there was one of your chaplains going to be retiring, and that was Bob Kimmel. And Bob Kimmel retired, and of course, we just moved from North Carolina to Upper Marlboro, Maryland in 2013, and the Lord said, go again, move again. So we're like, oh, wow. Gratefully that our kids were adults at that time in college, and so God gave us an opportunity. But my name is Chaplain Derek Seegers. I am so thankful to be here, and one of the things I get to do every single day is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And where can you go to do that? Many places, there are places in the world that you can't even have a Bible. And I want to encourage you this morning, before I even speak on the ministry, is that the work that you're doing is a blessing. Many are being saved. Many are coming to faith, as we say it, and many are coming to know the Lord as a result. And so without a church, without you giving, without you praying, without you in the past been volunteering, the work is still going on. And in 2019, of course, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. 2020, August 31st, September 1, I came aboard, and Chaplain Bob Kimmel retired. I had never had volunteers in the jail. And I worked without volunteers the entire time. So before I get into it, I want to pray, because I'm speaking right on my own will right now. And I believe in the unction of the Holy Spirit. And so let me pray, and then we'll begin to get into what I want to share with you this morning. So let's pray. Bow your heads for me. Father in heaven, we thank you for this glorious day that you have given each one of us. The Bible teaches that our days are numbered, and many times, Lord, forgive me for not acknowledging and realizing that I get one day closer of meeting you face to face. And so, Father, this morning, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would give me, you would hide me, but you would speak through me what you want my brothers and sisters to know about your mission and your ministry. Father, we thank you for allowing us and inviting us to be part of what you're doing every single day. And Lord, I am so grateful. I am so grateful in my heart, my soul, to be part of the gospel, to share the care and to love the gospel as you did and you've demonstrated through us all. And Father, it is the church, it is your bride that you're coming back for. But Lord, we know that we have a great commandment, we have a great commission, and we have the greatest news ever, that you gave your life for all, that anyone who would receive you, who would believe you, not only that you died on the cross, but you rose the third day. And right now, Lord, you sit at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible tells us no man knows the day and the hour that you shall appear, but you're coming back. And so, Father, there's service to do. I won't say work, there's service to do. And so, Lord, as we talk about one of the ministries and the missions that you have given us to do, I'm grateful this morning for Westminster Bible Church that they support a ministry not just now, but have supported for years. And so, Lord, I hold that near and dear to my heart, and I want this church to know that I'm grateful that we get to serve in this manner. Father, we love you so much. Now, Lord, as I speak, Lord, speak to them through the Holy Spirit of what you want them to know. Lord, I love you, I praise you, and I give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, did you know, this is how I'm going to start off, did you know that the New Testament, there are 27 books of the New Testament letter, their letters. Did you know 13 of those 27 are penned under lock and key? Did you know that? You're like, what are you talking about, Chaplain? If we think about Saul of Tarsus, who had the transformation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God met him on the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 9 is a reference. He was headed to persecute Christians. And God stopped him in his tracks. He says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute against me? The first words out of Saul's mouth, he said, Lord. So everyone knows who the creator is. Saul, God gives him his mission. He's transformed. God gives it to him, and he is to go and speak to the Gentiles the very gospel that he tried to actually persecute against. But God used him mightily. Paul goes on and he pens or writes in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit 13 of our New Testament books. So it's pretty safe to say, I would believe, that 13 of our epistles that were penned by the Apostle Paul, that if the jail ministry and the prison ministry is not important, that's your reason today. That the ministry that you support here at Westminster Bible Church, that God wants that ministry. There are men and women right across the street here, we could walk in a straight line, that have been forgotten. I don't know if you know this or not, but this missionary work that God has given us to do, and I say us because it's plurality, I couldn't do it without you, that we're reaching one more for Jesus Christ. So let me just kind of, just wanted to say that to you before. The history of Good News Jail and Prison Ministry, they have been around 61 years this year. There have only been four chaplains at the Carroll County Detention Center. September 1st, 2020, I walk into a pandemic. We were so graciously to be invited to have a chaplain in there. Everyone else, they told you can't come in. But the gospel continued to be taught. And I'm going to share a little bit more, a little bit about what I do on a daily basis. But Good News Jail and Prison Ministry, we are located in 22 states and 25 countries. Over 300,000 inmates per day the gospel is being shared. And that's just amazing. So God said his word would never return void unto himself. Isaiah says in Isaiah 55:11 that it would accomplish what it is set out to do. And I just want to applaud you all for allowing me to do that. And Good News puts trained chaplains, which we have a continuing education. It just doesn't stop here. Like we said earlier, we're always called to learn and to continue to grow in our faith. But they train us, they teach us, and they allow us to be part of God's eternal ministry. Let me share a little bit with my little PowerPoint here. Let's pray that this works. Praise the Lord. I want to just share these three things with you. And these are known as the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, and the greatest news known to man. Those three things that we get to do every day. The Great Commandment, the Great Commission, and the greatest news. Well, we know the Great Commandment. This is they were testing Jesus, and just for time's sake, you see this. And he said, this is what Jesus said to him, speaking to one of the lawyers. I don't want to stand too far, but he said to him that you shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You know, that's a question to us this morning. Are we loving God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind? This is the greatest and the first commandment. He said in verse 39, he said, and second is loving your neighbor. Well, who is your neighbor? Well, not just the neighbor that lives next door. It's anyone that comes into your circle, you would say. Anyone next to you is your neighbor. And he said, these two commandments depend all for the law and the prophets. We could sum up all of the 600 plus laws, the Mosaic laws, and sum it up with these two. So God challenges us. And that's one thing that Westminster Bible Church is doing. They're loving God with all their heart, their soul, and mind. We felt the love when Janelle and I walked in. Man, I thought this when I walked in, let me get you loosened up a little bit. Man, I thought it was a party. I walked in when it was, boy, I ain't had nothing but people, you know, loving on each other. And I said, man, this is where I want to be. Now, I tell you what, your pastor looks so young, I didn't even recognize him. I seen him in a suit the last time I saw him. He was right there greeting people as he came to church. I said, oh, how you doing? I said, man, I didn't even recognize who he was. That was Pastor Strine. Y'all keeping him looking young, so I wanted to say that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord there. And but the Great Commandment, I don't get too far away, but loving. What are you doing? Are you loving God with all your heart, your soul, and mind? You know, the world will tell, and I'm speaking to the young folks, the world will tell you something completely different in what God wants you to do. Be careful. You know what I wanted to be when I grew up? A professional baseball player. I love baseball. Loved it. Am I playing baseball today? No. Let me say this to you. I'm not saying not to pursue your dreams. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when we walk in where God has created us to do, it is the most joyful thing to do every day. Man, I tell you what, every day that I walk in that jail, my dad thought I was crazy when I told him I was going to be working in a jail. He's like, you going to do what? I thought you were in the church. I said, that's the church in the jail. The church is there. We just need to, God said to go, and I'm going to share that in a minute. But I said, I'm going to serve in the jail. He said, what about pastoring a church? I said, Dad, that is my church. I'm put in there. God has allowed me to go in there to share the good news. And we're still learning. But let me say this to the young folks. When you find what God wants you to do, when you find out what that is, you'll do it without, it's not the money, it's the joy. Man, I come home self-fulfilled every single day. And you know why? You all let me do that. So when Pastor Strine asked me to come and teach or come and share what God is doing, I want you to know it's the greatest thing that you could ever give me and my dear family. So I want to say thank you. Second, let me keep going. I'm starting to get slow. I'm going there. All right, I'm trying it again. One more. Just try it. Okay, the Great Commission. Well, you know, I think about, I didn't say this to you, but I think about the Great Commandment as what am I commanded to do? And that's go ye therefore to make the first thing in the Great Commandment is loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, and your mind, and strength. But this is here, the second thing, yeah, I want to say this to you, how I'm told to do it. And it's through the Great Commission. And the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and if you will, he's speaking to the church today. He says, go, therefore, and notice I got it highlighted, to make disciples. Not just some nations. You know, I just heard earlier that you guys are in Kenya. What amazing, you guys are fulfilling the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But not only that, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. This is very important. I want you to know this. When God shows you that he loves you and he sends you, this last sentence here is really powerful. It says, and behold, I am with you. God never left us. He's with us right now. Where two or more are gathered in his names, he says, there I will be. And well, how is he with me now? For the believer who believes and have faith, and have faith in Jesus, he says, I'm going to send you a comforter, a spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is in you. Not only be with you, but he's in you. And that's what he meant. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you even to the end of the age, the end of time. So he's with us now. The Great Commission. And tells us how I'm told to do it. And this is how the church, you and me, are going to share the gospel. Not only just in, he mentioned it earlier, Pastor Shrine, not only just in Jerusalem, Judea, in all the uttermost parts of the world. You're not only going local, you're not only going regional, you're not only going national, you're going to the whole world. The gospel is going forth. It's the greatest news, and that's what I want to end talk about this. The greatest news. Why is it so important? This is why I'm told to do what I do. Do you know that there's an innate creation in you? It's the DNA of Christ that is already in you, that is already programmed in you to do what God wants you to do. That's why it's important to seek God. I like one of my favorite verses in Matthew 33. To seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. And it said, all else should be added unto you. In everything you do, Westminster Bible Church, seek God in his kingdom and his righteousness and allow God to work in you. This is the greatest news to man. For God so loved the world, all of his creation, that he gave his only, some translation says his only son, but his only begotten son, that whoever, this crosses racial barriers, the people that we see, and we see that, the blessing here at Westminster Bible, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's so important, and you are doing that every single day. So we are not only told of the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, but we also have the greatest news. And let me share with you the hope behind the walls. That is a picture of one of my units. There, we got permission. We didn't show any faces. But the gentleman I want to share with you, it'll be to my left, but to your right. I will share a story about him shortly. But every day, I get the opportunity to teach God's word. I get the opportunity to hear of the darkness that sin in someone's life. And some of the stories that I hear, and I don't even have to say them. But I think about Jesus. I think about prayer, why it's so important to pray. And you're praying to Jesus. You're spending your time telling Jesus what's wrong. And God wants to hear about him. You guys allow a chaplain to go into the jail to minister to those. Now, I don't know why God shut out the volunteers, but I do know that he used me mightily in the jail. We've had over this year, had over 31 inmates come to know Christ as a result. And that's because of the work that you're doing. And I'm going to share a little bit more statistics in a few minutes. But every day, an inmate, chaplain, I need a Bible. We've given out over 800 Bibles this year. Praise the Lord. That place is, people are in and out. We give out Bibles all year long because of your support. Let me keep going. That's just one of my, that's my unit I teach. That unit increased. You see four there? It's 9 men come to that Bible studies on Friday. Packed out. Now you see, we call that packed out. But before COVID, we could go down into the multipurpose room and have 20 to 30 guys. You want to hear a short story, quick story? Now, I went to, don't hold this against me. I went to Lancaster Bible College, seminary and graduate school. I not only went there, but I teach there as an adjunct. One of the things I want to share with you is that my degree, my master's in pastoral care, but it's also a concentration in small group leadership. Now, becoming a chaplain, I said, well, I probably won't even use that small group stuff anymore. I was a pastor of small group, right? And y'all know where I'm going with this. Y'all laughing already. I like that. I like the foreshadowing of just telling a story, and y'all already get it. Long story short, we walk into the jail, and they said, chaplain, we can't gather units in one big room anymore. So we're requesting, and there are rules in there, and we live by the rules because that's how we keep safety for everyone. He says, you can't have no more than five. And guess what? Small group dynamic. The teaching and the learning increase, and I truly believe God used that mightily to really get to know the inmates on a one-on-one basis. Amen? That's one of the greatest things. So let me move forward because I want to share a little bit more about this story here. Well, Father's Day, this is this year. Now, they don't have stationery. You guys provide stationery. Thank you for the members and the churches that are donating the composition notebooks. That's the only stationery. Well, somehow they got a colored stationery. This is the same unit that you've seen before, 9 of them. And this year for Father's Day, they created their own Father's Day card. They called me their father. Now, you talking about, before, I'm getting all mushy on you, but yeah, there's a heart inside of this big man, okay? And God created. He created one in you. Let me say this to you. They said, chaplain, he said, before you start Bible study, we want to tell you we love you. And you are our father. But before you go to Bible study, I want to show you, we want to present you something. Now, I'm telling you, you know, I've received a lot of things in life. God has blessed me tremendously, beyond of what I deserve. They gave me that card, and it was just like, I can tell you, it was worth more to my heart and soul to see that they put the time into to develop that. And let me show you something else. This is really powerful. Let me share this with you. They not only did the card, I teach them, every inmate in there, I teach them three things. And I want you to hear this because I want you to know this too. God teaches them three things when they come into jail. Number one, I'm going to share this with you just a second. Number one, this is the way I teach them. Number one, God loves you. And you said the greatest news was for God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. Whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. So I tell them, number one, God loves you. You think you're in here because you've done your serving time. Yes, you are. But I want to share this with you. God loves you that much that he would give you a time out. He would give you a time out. He took whatever you've done out in society, he's giving you a time out because he wants to know you. He wants to tell you that he loves you. So this is the way I do it. God loves you with a thumb. Number two, God wants to protect you. They said, chaplain, protect me? What do you mean? Well, I guarantee you, if you were outside of this jail, you wouldn't be in a Bible study. God wants to protect you from yourself and want to protect you from the world. So that's number two. One, God loves you. Number two, he wants to protect you. And number three, he wants to teach you. He wants to teach you his ways. See, one guy, this is a true story. He came to Bible study. He said, oh, chap, They call me Chap. They don't call me Chaplain. You know, Chap for short. Oh, Chap, I just came to get out of the unit. I got tired of being in that same unit, so I just came to get in the unit. Do you know that young man received Christ and came to know the Lord as a result of that? Amen. And now it's Chaplain Seekers. God changed his walk. It's amazing what God does when the Word of God gets in you and you start reading it. I mean, it's so powerful. I think a reference, and you can write this from now, Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is powerful and it's active. It is alive. We said that earlier today. I was so happy to hear that. I was so happy to hear that you guys are going through, what you call it again? The catechism. You're going through that. It's so important about God's Word. I was telling you this, that this young man had come in and he got saved. But those three things. But here's, look closely at the bottom, your bottom left. Now, I'm gonna share this with you. There are nine of them. There's European in there. There's a Dutchman in there. There's one is a Jew. There's also an African in there from Nigeria. Now, who does this? Who does this? Nine different nationalities in one room, otherwise wouldn't have been in that room have God not orchestrated it. Hear me. Many times, because of how we were raised traditionally, we neglect what God really has for us because of fear and because of what the enemy has said to us. God loves you so much. Number one, he loves you. He's always going to protect you, and he's always going to teach you his ways if you just let him. They thought they were coming in to just serve their time. And I say to them, God is not going to let you go until you realize these three things. This is going to move into the gentleman I was sharing with you earlier. We're going to call him Abe. Now, Abe is from Nigeria. Abe has been here a little over 2 years. I came in September. He came to Bible study in September. We started Bible study 2 weeks after I got there. Abe, let me share a little bit about his story. Abe is from Nigeria. Abe wasn't sure about his faith. Matter of fact, Abe knew more about darkness and wicked and demonic spirits. He believed in God, but he didn't understand the one true Savior. Well, Abe had served in this community. I won't go into all the details. And I asked him, can I share this? So this he wanted you to know. He had served in this community, and he got accused of a crime that he didn't do. I spent many days with a chaplain. Can you pull me out to talk with me and just to pray? Now, he's from Nigeria. He doesn't know a whole lot of the language, but he learned. God was loving him and showing him the grace of God on his life. Well, it comes up his first trial, and he says, Chaplain, I'm innocent. I didn't do it. I said, well, stand on the word of God. Do you believe this faith that God is one? God loves you. He wants to protect you. He wants to teach you. Do you believe? Do you stand on God's word? He said, absolutely, Chap. He said, but it's getting hard. He said, and he was saying in his testimony, he says, they're kind of leading me to take a plea. And that means I would be guilty. And Chaplain, you saying this faith is to believe God. I said, yeah. If you, without a shadow of a doubt, we talked about this at length, that you're innocent. You stand on the word of God. Well, 11 months come, and they tried to get him to take a plea. And he goes to, 11 months ago from this month, he goes and he, the first hung jury in 30 plus years. He goes and they didn't believe the testimony of the defendant. They didn't believe at all, or the one that was coming against him. They didn't.
The plaintiff.
There you go. Thank you, sister. Appreciate it. That's good for the body of Christ, ain't it? For the plaintiff, they didn't believe it. So he had a hung jury. Well, he comes back, And he waited another 11 months. He gets so weary. They was telling him. Now, his attorney, he was sharing with me, he said, they still want me to take a plea. But you're saying stand on the word of God. 4 weeks ago, they called him back to trial again. The day before, he says, Chaplain, can we get together and pray? I said, yes, we can. He prayed. He said, I'm shaking. I'm nervous. I mean, even you could see him. He was just shaking and nervous. He said, either they're going to find me guilty and I can have up to 17 years here. Well, he goes to court. It's going on this 4 weeks this week. And before, he didn't even walk in the courtroom. His attorney said to him, do you want to go home or do you want to go in the courtroom? All to say the Lord delivered him. But because of what you do, because you allow a chaplain to be in there, in the jail, he was able to hear the gospel. He was able to receive the gospel and see God work in his life. Now, I don't know if you know the implications of that. When he came back from the unit, serving over here in the courthouse, he comes back to the unit. Can you imagine when the door opens and those who have been, the other eight that have been attending Bible study with him on Fridays? Can you imagine the look on their, waiting to hear the good news, the greatest news, right? For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. Whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Abe was set free. When he walked in and held up his hands, he gave hope for those in the jail. The naysayers, the other, there's 22 in that unit. The naysayers of those nine, there were still another 12 that didn't believe at all. Can you imagine the impact that God is going to have on their life? This thing on Friday y'all go to, and not all come, but they go every week. And we share the gospel. We talk about, we're in the book of Hebrews as we speak. But I want to share that story with you because he was released. And not only that, he was sent back to Nigeria. Now, we talk about the gospel. The gospel is going back over. He has a testimony now. And what God did in his life. Guess who was a part of that? Westminster Bible Church. Because you allow a chaplain to be in there to share God's word. You're praying for the chaplain. You're praying for the inmates. That's why you don't get to see your rewards unto heaven. Because you don't know all that God is doing. He's working when you don't even see him working. And I want to share that with you. But let me keep going. I hope I haven't put you to sleep yet. Here's my scorecard. This is what's happening in the jail daily. There are 8 Bible studies per week. Over 416 Bible studies per year. Yes, that's 6 of those out of that 8 are performed or are served by your chaplain. You know who used to do those Bible studies? The volunteers. So I ask you guys for prayer because that means when I'm doing Bible studies, I'm working, I'm serving. Praise the Lord, my kids are grown enough to take care of themselves, but I still have a relationship with God and my wife. So pray. 5 inmates per study, I told you that. That's approximately, we may have 9 in one group, we may have 3 in one group, we may have 6 in one group, but it averages out. In the newsletter, I put 4 to 6. We have 5 inmates per Bible study in attendance when we have 8 per week. Now, 2 of those Bible studies are done on Thursday and on Sunday. We just did open one for volunteers to come in and do one on Thursday for the ladies and then on Sunday for the work release. Praise the Lord. That's God opening doors. There are about 7 counseling sessions per week for the inmates and deputies. And when I say deputies, I meet with certain deputies away from the jail. Because, I mean, it's they need to talk. See, this is one of the things that I want to share with you. They went through the pandemic, too. And some of the things that we will not talk about, the things that our deputies face, they wait on those inmates hand and foot. You talk about the real servants? They feed them. They got to have their medicines. They got to be taken down to mental health. They got to go see the doctor. They wait on them hand and foot, breakfast, lunch, dinner, anything that they need. Court, they escort them to court. They wait on them. Think about this in the midst of a pandemic. They had to wait. They had to work their shifts. You're talking about calling in sick? There was none of that. There was no calling in sick. We had two shifts, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. But guess what? They have families too. They have children. They're serving. Those are real heroes. Because you allow a chaplain to be in there to encourage them. To preach, to teach, to encourage them with the word of God. Yes, we lost some of our deputies due to the long hours, due to changing shifts or changing careers. I'll say this to you, that for every 12 deputies that are hired, 6 of them are gone within the first year. Because of the strenuousness, the long hours, the burdens that family put on you, the raising of kids, the marriages. Statistically, they have the highest divorce rates in alcoholism and suicide. See, the enemy doesn't want us to win. But the enemy has already lost. Did you hear me? That's something that, I mean, he's already lost. What is the church responsibility? And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about you as an individual. Where has God placed you right now? That neighbor that you've known for 15 years right across the street, but you refuse now. I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your toes, but I was that guy. I was that neighbor who you didn't say anything to. That neighbor who had to walk over to your house and almost threaten you. I'm speaking to myself here. I hope you guys get that. That threatened me to take my dog's life because he was barking. My kids were yay high, still in car seats. We coming from a Wednesday night service. Well, we have a German Shepherd. She barks. If she hears anything, she's going to bark. She's a protective dog. We get out of the Jeep or the car we was driving, and I was taking them out the car seats. Someone walks up behind me and said, "Hey, you want me to quieten that dog down for you?" Just coming from church, a young man, young family. I don't have to say anything else, but I can tell you this. I got on my knees that night. God said in Romans, he says, vengeance, he says this in the Old Testament too, he says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not yours. But you know else what I heard? He said, you wasn't going to go across the street to speak to him. I sent him to you. Did you get that? Did you get that? Those who are sleeping, did you get that? You weren't going to go across the street to speak to him, so I sent him to you. See, believers, you have a mission. You've already been given the great commandment. We just talked about it. The great commandment that you should love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And second is like this, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Then he gives you a commission. He says, go. He didn't give you no choice. He said, go. Where in your life you're not going? Where in your life that you're not making disciples? Teaching them the things that you've observed me do and I've commanded you to do. And he says, lo, I'm with you always until the end of age. And then he gives you the greatest news. Once you tell them, once you teach them, once you baptize them, he says, God loved this world. He said, I gave my only begotten son for you. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. You see, every single day, my heart is in tune with the great commandment, the great commission, and the greatest news known to man. Thank you for allowing me to do what God called me to do. I challenge you today to ask yourself, God never makes anything. Hear what I'm saying. God never makes anything that he didn't have a purpose or plan for. And for those of you who have been put down by someone who told you you couldn't, I was that guy. Remember I told you I wanted to be a professional baseball? Now, a little secular. MC Hammer. You remember, y'all remember, some of you guys know MC Hammer. What's the song, "You Can't Touch This"? That's my saying when it comes to God. When God gives you an assignment, you can't touch it. You can't touch this. Because he's anointed you, he's placed you as a time such as this to carry the greatest thing ever, and that's the gospel, the good news of his son, Jesus, dying for all. So I want to encourage you. In closing, I want to let me just tell you this. Finish these. Over 800 Bibles, I heard you said that earlier, are given out this year. Over 31 commitments to come to faith. 5 existing volunteers have come back into jail giving me help. Praise the Lord. Pray for another 100 to come back in, all right? Because that means some of you who've been serving gets to come back in. We retrained and background checked 38 of our volunteers. We did training early in the year. We're going to do some again at the beginning of the year. I have 38 ready to go. 5 of the 38 have been in. So that means I have, 33 that are still waiting. And then developing and re-entry programs, we're restarting those up for men and women. And finally, let's see what we got. We get the opportunity to work closely with the sheriff and the warden. Actually, before I was hired, I had to go through the background check, not only with good news, but I had to interview with the sheriff and the warden. And we get to, you guys represent us. We get to carry the church into their events. They invite us to do invocations and benedictions, and you get to meet people. You get to invite them to church. You get to hear the stories because of you. And this has been going on for years. And praise the Lord for your commitment and dedication unto the Lord. And finally, I want to say this to you. November 5th, you heard it earlier, is our annual banquet. It is one of the second largest events that we do. It's one of the community things that we do. We celebrate our volunteers, but we also share testimonies of changed lives in the community. And you get to see what's going on in the organization as a whole. I hope this works, brother. I'm gonna click on this. And this is just a 1-minute excerpt of what took place last year, November 6th. So if you would love to come, I have Sister Debbie here. I left some invitations or an actual card that gives you more information. You saw it on the screen. You can pick up one on. If you didn't see it on the website, you didn't see it up here today, pick one up. And I also left a newsletter that goes in a little more detail with links. So feel free to pick one up in the back. So here we go. And after the video, I want to pray. And then I want to ask a question. Then I want to pray for you, okay? If that's okay, Pastor. All right, let's see if we can get this thing going. Here we go. If you click that. So. Do I need to hit it? It's not going to run? So, it's not going to run, but if you want to see a rendition of that, go to Good News Jail and Prison Ministry, Carroll County, and click on the video. It's on there too. And a copy of the newsletter if you don't get a copy back in the bag. So, I want to take this moment out. Anything that I said, is it okay, Pastor?
Sure.
To ask, take questions. You can talk back to me today. So, feel free. Any questions that you have, anything that I told you, this is real life, and really, like I said, this is the greatest thing I've ever done. It hands down on being a professional baseball player. Amen. So any questions, any comments? Love to hear them. Not one?
Thank you for your service.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for... Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I know that's from the bottom of your heart, and every day when I walk in that jail, I pray before I say, Lord, use me mightily in your name. And, you know, our health, sometimes you don't feel like going in. Sometimes you get beat up by just attitudes or by inmates, not beat up physically, but the things they say, they reject God. Man has, Paul says it best in Romans chapter 1. He says, man has loved creation more than the Creator. Think about it. Ask yourself, am I loving creation or the Creator more than I'm loving God? In the great commandment, he told us earlier that you shall love me with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. We had another question. Go ahead. That's a great program. That's what the next to the last scorecard objective that we're working on, we do. We're just revamping it for men and women. We've established the last two programs. We set up a Bible study for Thursday. And so that Bible study is made up of women, but there's also ladies that have served with us for years that are still reentry for those that reenter the program. We're not only partnered for doing that for the ladies, we're doing it for the men too. So the Sunday Bible study and work release is strictly for reentry of men. Right now we have about 8 counselors. We have about 6 on the lady side that are ready to take those ladies. We also have organizations that wanted to partner with us to help those ladies. So the answer to your question, we're trying to continue to put this back in effect like it was before, but we know God is doing something different. Let me say this to you. You may have not come back in physically, but God has given you an opportunity to minister outside of the jail. You know, why do you got to go into them? They're going to come back out in society. Why not invite them to church? Now you say, well, man, I don't know, he's a criminal. Yeah, I get it. But aren't we all criminals at some point? The Bible, now my Bible reads, and you say, well, Judge Chapman, wait a minute, hold up. Pastor Strang will get me on that one. Well, wait a minute. Well, hold up, wait a minute. No, the Bible says, for all have sinned. All. That means none of us fall short of, all of us fall short of God's glory. So we all are sinners. But God renews a heart. He transforms a heart. And that's how you know, because the love of God rules that heart. Any more questions? Go ahead, brother. We used to. And let me say this. The only reason I think about some of the counties, and just because I talk with other chaplains around the United States, they've allowed their churches to come back in more so than we have. This particular one, for whatever reason, you guys been praying, I've been praying, everybody's been praying. To answer your question, we used to have that. Will we start that back up? I would love to be able to do that. And it really depends on the church. Right now, COVID, nobody's just a wait and see attitude. What is COVID going to do? So right now, I'm required to wear a mask 100% of the time. And we hope to start that back up. We haven't yet. They do work release on the properties that Carroll County owns or like around, but we have not extended it out to the public where they would go to a certain company and work and then come back. That would be similar to, could we do a bus to bring them over here? That's something we could talk about. We can definitely pray about. I believe as we continue to build those relationships, see the transformations with the sheriff and the warden's approval, we would be able to do that.
That's true. To
being Amen.
Man.
Well, please hold on to that hope, hold on to that idea, and let's revisit that with your pastor and others. Let's revisit that. Will it be anybody else? Well, I hope I didn't put you to sleep. I hope you'll have me come back. Pastor Strand, thank you for letting me come. Can I pray for them, and then can I turn it over to you? Father in heaven, we thank you so much, God, that you allow us to do what we do. We thank you for the gospel, the greatest news known to man. That God would give up his only son to die for my sins. Not only the sins for my sins, but sins of the past, sins of the present, and sins of the future. God, you've given us a great commission and a great commandment. And Lord, teach us how to love. We know it won't be a perfect love while we're on this side. We do know that we're working toward it. But we know, Lord, you've put sin, you've died for the sin. May we remember every day your death on the cross, your precious blood that was shed for all, was the blood that paid for us. That we don't really, you own us, Lord. We belong to you. I pray, God, as we continue to walk out our faith, continue to walk out this life that you've given us, Lord, that we would come to know the saving grace that you have extended to all. I don't know, Lord, I have the things that I need to work on, but Holy Spirit, would you continue? I like what Paul says in Philippians 1:6. He says, and I close, he says, be confident in this very thing. He, speaking of Jesus, who has begun a good work in you, he will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for never giving up on me. Thank you that you hadn't finished yet. And thank you, Lord, I will serve you until you call me home. I love you, Lord. I praise you. And I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful church that supports the work of the ministry. Thank you for Pastor Strine, who leads as their under-shepherd, who continues to live out the gospel day in and day out. Now, Father, I want to pray for Pastor Strine because I do know, Lord, as a pastor, it's told us, Lord, statistics told us it's the most loneliest job or service there is. And so I'm going to encourage Westminster Bible Church to pray for your pastor. Now, he's not going to share everything with you, but when you think about it, call his name out unto the Lord. And I would ask God that this church bless him beyond measure. And Father, I pray that the anointing, I felt the anointing on his spirit today, that your anointing would be with him, that you would use him mightily. And Father, let every word of his mouth and every meditation of his heart be acceptable to your sight. For Lord, we know that you are strength, you are redeemer. Lord, I love you, I praise you, I give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, we're going to be a little bit over this morning.